Morning. Today's Daf Nirvan, Daf Mem Tes. We're on Mem Ches Amud Beis. We are starting from the very top of the Amud. And actually, we're on, let's turn back the page. Mem Ches Amud Aleph on the very bottom of the Amud. Okay, the point of agreement is the following. I got three people lined up in a row. And nobody asked Chum. Everyone's got just Dalai Amas and only Dalai Amas. And how did that happen? So we spoke out the other day that they fell asleep during the Bein HaShemashos period, irrespective of how we got to this position. So, but we have three people, and each one of them now only have Dalai Amas, and let's call them person A, B, and C. So let's, protect the innocent. We're not even going to give them a name. And A's Dalai Amas encroaches on B's Dalai Amas, and B's Dalai Amas encroaches on C, but A and C have no overlap. So what we learned together is that A and B in the shared area, so they can have a small table for two, nice intimate meal. And B and C also can do the same thing, meaning B and C on their point of overlap, they too can enjoy each other's company and, bring some food into their common ground. And, okay, good. It's, B's going to be the social butterfly of the group. And A and B are going to be a little bit more limited, but you get the basic point. And we're not worried. There's no concern that A is going to carry something over to C or C is going to carry something over to A. There's no worry about that whatsoever. Good. And we all agree. I mean, there's no point of contention. That's according to everybody. Then we get to the controversy, and that is a model very similar, but not on an individual basis, but rather on a chatzar basis. So to my right, all the way to your left, we have a trusty diagram. So we have chatzars A, B, and C. Okay, and here, to give somewhat of an analogous case, A made an error with B, and B made an error with C. So Rabbi Shimon says, it's the same. It's got to be the same. A can carry to B, B can carry to C, A can't carry to C. Okay? That's Rabbi Shimon's analogy. Rabbi Shimon says they're exactly the same case. In fact, Rabbi Shimon says they're so much the same case, he looks at the Chachamim and he says to the Chachamim, well, why aren't you agreeing with me? You agree with me in the case of the three individuals. So over here, isn't it the same? So A, in other words, I know there's no overlap over here, but the Erev creates unity. So if A made an Erev with B, so let A and B carry to one another. And if B made an Erev with C, so let B and C carry to one another. And I know that A can't carry to C, I get that, but it's the same. So what's the difference? Okay, so that question we're going to deal with later this morning.
But there's a fundamental difference in that analogy. Mm-hmm. Because there are three individuals who have their Arba Amot. They don't really have to do any kind of process to initiate something. They
right, have to do correct, correct. Agreed, like agreed. Good point, agreed. We're going to explore this a little bit more later this morning. Good. Okay, but before we touch on that, I asked the question yesterday. I ended off the daf with this question. And now we're going to discuss this question, which is the following. A made an Erev with B. So what does that mean? A and B now are merged. Okay, a merger has taken place. Merger and acquisition. So A made an Erev with B, so A and B now are merged. So now when B makes an Erev with C, isn't everyone getting unified? Meaning, how do we even come up with a construct scenario in which we have A and B as being one entity and B and C being another entity? Isn't there now going to be a default merger between all three chatzars? Haven't we basically incorporated everybody?
When B merges with C, B now a new entity that includes A?
Correct, correct, correct. That's the question. Correct. Okay, so this is a question that I raised yesterday. And so the Gemara is going to spend the entire Mem Ches Amud Beis addressing this particular question. So it's a short daf, and we're going to get through it. Whatever, however long it takes. So what do I know? I'm about to predict. Okay, shtay mechitzon is ve'amai. The Gemara now on the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Kevin de'arve luhu chitzon is ba'adim tzars havi luhu chada. So the Gemara now basically says, aren't we one entity? What's going on over here? So the Gemara is going to give two explanations to how we even get to this scenario, where I have two separate Erevin, I have the AB, and I have the BC, but I don't have ABC. Okay? So, basically, we have two approaches. Approach number one. I'm Rav Yehuda. Kigon, shenasu emtsais, eruv bezu, veruv bezu. So, let's pause, and let's go over Rav Yehuda's answer. Look, how do we make an Erev? We know this, and we're going to be spending the entirety of today discussing how to make an Erev. What everyone does is everyone contributes bread. And now, does it have to be bread? So, we saw in the beginning of the third parak, for Erev Chatziris, yes, it has to be bread. Okay, so everyone's going to contribute a loaf of bread. So, and the bread gets deposited. Where? In somebody's house. Does it matter whose house? No, doesn't matter. It's somebody's house. Somebody within the chatzer. Okay, nowadays the minhag is to keep in the shul, which is strange because nobody lives in the shul, but okay, that's neither here nor there, but fine. Anyway, but the point being is as follows. Okay, now if A and B are going to make an Eruv, meaning, and they can, remember, there are doorways between A and B. I should have made that clear. It's important. Okay. If A and B are going to make an Eruv, so they're going to, everyone's going to contribute some food and put it in a house. Does it matter whether they put in A and B? Well, for just A and B, that doesn't matter. In other words, because we're unifying everybody, and everyone now is going to be one corporate entity, one incorporated entity, and so it doesn't really matter. In our discussion, it's going to matter. Why? So let's say all the members of B put their Eruv, meaning their food, their bread, in a house in Chatzer A. So what is that indicating? So Rav Yehuda says what that indicates is that they want to be there, meaning the unification is going to be taking place in A. And then when B and C make an Eruv, same story. B is going to take all their food and they're going to go into and put it in a house in C. So in other words, basically what Rav Yehuda is saying is that had everybody taken their Eruv and put it into B, meaning when A and B made a joint Eruv, they put the basket of bread in B's chatzer. And if B and C, when they made an Eruv, they put it also into a house in B's chatzer, so then we would have a merger. Then we would have unification. But because B and A put their Eruv in A, and B and C put their Eruv in C, so now we do not have a merger.
But so what in effect he's saying is that when A and B merge, they don't lose their individual identity. They're not really merging.
Okay.
Is that a new entity? Otherwise, it doesn't matter where it is.
Okay, right? The Gemara is going to ask exactly right. Your question on the Amud Beis. So, and you're right on the money with that question. Stay tuned. Okay, that is Rav Yehuda's approach. Okay, two. Second approach is Rav Sheshes. Bottom line of Memches Amud Aleph. Rav Sheshes Amar Afilo Tema Shenasno Eruvan Beemtza Is. And Rav Sheshes says, no, you don't have to get so fancy. And in other words, when A and B merged, they put the Eruv in Chatzar B. And when B and C merged, they put their Eruv also in Chatzar B. So then how come we don't have a merger? So Rav Sheshes says, Kigon Shenasnuhu Bishnei Batim. So the Gemara says, because when A and B merged, they put it in one person's house. And when B and C merged, and even though they put the Eruv in B, they put it in another house. And the Gemara says, that's why we don't have a joint merger, because the Eruv is not all centralized in one person's house. Now the Gemara says to this answer of Rav Sheshes, wait one second, come on, Kebe Shammai, meaning, you mean to tell me that in order to explain this entity of A and B being one Eruv, and B and C being another Eruv, so they are both put in, both Eruvim are put into Chatzar B, but in two different houses, that's Beis Shammai talk, that's not Beis Hillel talk. Now this is a machlokas which we have not yet seen in the Masechta. We're almost halfway through and we haven't yet seen this. We're seeing it right now. This machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, D'tanya v'lantan abraisa. Chamisha shegav v'seiruv v'menasna b'shnei kelim. Let's say five people were contributing to the Eruv. And they put it in two separate kelim. In other words, so what unification requires is that everyone not only put their bread in the same house, but according to Beis Shammai, in the same basket. It's got to be one basket. So Bishnei Kalim, Beis Shammai Omrim, excuse me, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Eruv and Eruv. So Beis Shammai says that's no good, meaning that's not unification. Unification is going to require that everybody put the bread into one basket. Beis Hillel Omrim, Eruv and Eruv. And Beis Hillel says the Eruv is good Eruv, meaning, okay, it's in the same house. Doesn't have to be in the same basket. Now, the Gemara says, so again, we're in the middle of a question. So this setup of Rav Sheshes is according to Beis Shammai? Gemara is going to say no. Afilu tema Beis Hillel ad kan lo kamer Beis Hillel hasam ela b'shnei kelim bebayis echad aval b'shnei batim lo. Yeah, Beis Hillel is more lenient. You're right. But that leniency means that you can't put him, it can be a different kelim. But it has to be in the same house. If we don't all put our food in one person's house, it's not going to be a singularized unified Erev, and then it's not going to work. If it's in that house, can it be in separate Kalim? Beis Hillel says, sure, of course it can be. But it has to be in the same house. So now we're going to go back to Rav Sheshet's answer. Rav Sheshet's answer is good, meaning it works according to both Beis Hillel, and it works even according to Beis Hillel. Meaning that when A and B merged, they did put their Erev in B, but in one person's house. When B and C merged, they did put their Erev in B, but in another person's house, and that's why we don't have one joint merger between A, B, and C. That's how we end up with a construct of two separate Erevs, the AB Erev and the BC Erev. Okay, good. Now the Gemara to all this asks some hard-hitting questions. I'm the Rav Acha, Brei Rav Avya, the Rav Ashi, the Rav Yehuda Kasha, the Rav Sheshes Kasha. Look, both of these approaches, they're both difficult. And I have difficulty with both of these approaches. Let's start off with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Kasha, Damar Kagon Shanasam Tzai Seruva Bazu, Ve'eruva Bazu. So we'll start off with the Rav Yehuda approach, which is that B and A put their Erev in A, B and C put their Erev in C. The cave and the Erev on Tzai is Ba'ad Dechitzon Ha'avile Chada. And now Ben basically articulated this question moments ago, and the Gemara now is spelling it out. I don't understand. When A and B made an Erev, who cares where they put the Erev? When A and B make an Erev, A and B now become one entity. They're one. It's no longer A and B. It's AB. Okay? They're one entity. So now, when B makes an Erev with C, okay, good. So in other words, B is not making an Erev with C. It's AB making an Erev with C. Who cares where A and B put their Erev? They just became unified. So, v'chihaj v'arva b'had idach shlichusa avda. So why not say that when B made an Erev with C, they were acting not only representing themselves, but they're representing A. I mean, essentially, they are A. Okay, good. So that's a question on Rav Yehuda. That's a strong question.
But A put no bread in here. Huh? A put no bread.
Of course A put bread in.
With B in A's yard.
Yes, A put bread in. It doesn't work if A doesn't put bread in.
But with C, they didn't put any bread in.
Correct.
So put the bread in.
Correct, correct. So Shlichusa Avda. Ula Rav Sheshes Kasha, and let's ask a hard-hitting question on Rav Sheshes. Now remember, Rav Sheshes' answer was that they A and B put their Erev in B, and B and C put their Erev in C, but in two different houses. That was Rav Sheshes' approach. The Gemara says, that's also a difficult approach. To have a kechamisha sheshruyim b'chatzar achas, v'shacha chechamayim v'lo irev, da'asri adade. The Gemara says, who's allowed to carry in B? Meaning just Erev, just Chatzar B, the middle Chatzar. Who can carry in it? Meaning essentially what has happened is, for all the members of Chatzar B, it's as if some people put the Erev in one person's house, and some people put the Erev in somebody else's house. Meaning, granted, everybody contributed in B. Granted. But now, where is their Erev? In two different houses. Well, that's not unification. Unification means it has to be in one person's house. So who can carry in B? In other words, no longer are we worried about the mergers of A and B and B and C. Just look at Chatzar B. I now have in Chatzar B two Erevs. So how is that going to work? So Amale Ravashi, Lola Rav Yehuda Kasha, Lola Rav Sheshes Kasha. So Ravashi says, I can defend both approaches. I'm going to defend Rav Yehuda, and then I'm going to defend Rav Sheshes. So the Rav Yehuda Lokasha came in the Irva Laim says Bahade Chitzona Ushtaim Chitzona Bahade Hadade Lo Irvu Galya Daite De Bahanichale Vahalo Nichale. So in terms of defending Rav Yehuda, we're going to say the following. Look, you're right. Meaning, if A and B made an Eruv, and then B and C made an Eruv, we have a merger. You're right. But over here, let's look at the specifics. What happened over here? A and B made an Eruv, and then where did they put it? They put it in A. That shows us that A really had no interest in merging together with C. Had A had an interest in merging together with C, they would have centralized it. They would have put the Erev in somebody's house in Chatzar B. The fact that they put in A means basically A is telling you, without articulating the words, but A is basically telling you, I'd like to merge with B, I have no interest in C. And when B and C make an Erev, and where do they put the Erev? They put the Erev in C. So again, it's C saying, look, Chatzar B, you guys are okay with us. Chatzar A, we're just not interested. Had they been interested, they would have centralized the Erev. So without saying it, they're basically saying, we don't want. A doesn't want with C, and C doesn't want with A. Okay, again, that's an implied statement based on the placement of the Eruv, but that's how we're going to defend Rav Yehuda. Good. Now let's try to defend Rav Sheshes. Ula Rav Sheshes Lokasha, Imam Radiurim Lahakal, Yom Radiurim Lahachmir. Okay, now, again, what was Rav Sheshes' approach? That A and B put their Eruv in B. B and C put their Eruv in B, just in two different houses. The question on Rav Sheshes' approach is, well, how are we going to be able to carry an Eruv B? Meaning, because now, for all the members of Chatzar B, for all the members of Chatzar B, I now have Eruv in two different houses. Right? That's no good. So the Gemara says, look, Eruv is there to create a Kula. Eruv is there not to create a Chumra. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi explains like this. We're going to take, everyone's going to contribute to the Eruv. And we're going to put it in somebody's house. And the statement that we're making basically is unification. We're all together. It's all one entity. That's the basic idea of Eruv. In fact, that's what the word actually means. Eruv means to mix together. Everyone becomes unified. When we were questioning Rav Sheshes, what we were thinking is that not only do we become unified, we all become residents of that one person's house. Meaning whoever's house we put the Eruv in, that's our home. That's all of our homes. And so what bothered the Gemara is, well, I don't understand now. Aren't when A and B made their Eruv, and they put in one person's house. So that's Eruv central. And then when B and C made an Eruv and put in somebody else's house, well, that's Eruv central. Well, how can you have two Eruv centrals? So to which the Gemara basically says, you're taking it too far. You're taking the concept of Eruv too far. You're assuming that when you put in someone's house, we all live there. And when you put in someone else's house, we all live there, and you can't have two home addresses. The Gemara says you're just taking the concept of Eruv too far. Eruv is there to unify, but not to the full extent where we're all going to say, hey, we're living here. It's really more for the purpose of unification. Once A and B made an Eruv, and even though we put the Eruv in somebody's houses in B, it unifies, but it doesn't mean we actually live there. And so therefore, B is not going to have any conflict when they made an Eruv with C, even though they're going to put in somebody else's house. B still has now one unified Eruv, and you can carry within the chatzar of B. Essentially, that's the Gemara's point. Eruv is there to create a kula, but don't ever look at Eruv as to create a chumra. Meaning, don't take the concept of Eruv too far to say, hey, that's where we live. Okay. Good. So far, so good. Now, all we did this morning, I mean, so far not bad, but all we did this morning is just simply understand how we can even have the construct of two separate Eruvin. Meaning we're now going to have an Eruv AB, and we're going to have an Eruv AC. But let's now remind ourselves. What do we have? A machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says A can carry to B, B can carry to A, B can carry to C, C can carry to B, but the Chachamim disagree. Now, what exactly, where, first of all, the two issues. Where exactly is a machlokas, and why is there a machlokas? So, both of these are now we're going to deal with for basically the remainder of today's daf. Amrav Yehuda Amarav. We are three, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, Amem Chasam and Beis, and we are continuing now with this discussion. Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. These are the words of Rabbi Shimon, Avach Chachamim Amrim, Rishus Achas, Mishameshes l'shtei reshuyos, aval lo shtei reshuyos, mishameshes l'reshus achas. Okay, so first we have Rav's understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says we can carry from where to where? We can carry from A to B. We can carry from B to A. They made an Eruv. We can carry from B to C. We can carry from C to B. They also made an Eruv. The only thing that can't happen is A can't carry something to C, because they didn't make an Eruv. It wasn't a joint merger, for reasons which we so far spent half of our morning discussing why, but good, we're past that now. So A can carry to B, B can carry to A, B can carry to C, C can carry to B. The Chachamim say no, but when they say no, according to Rav, it's not a flat no. No meaning, let's go back over the Gemara again, Rishus achas mishameshes l'shtei reshuyos, aval lo shtei reshuyos mishameshes l'rishus achas. Look, We have a merger between A and B. So A want to carry B? Sure. We have a merger between B and C. Can C carry to B? Sure. Here's the problem. It's B, who is now playing, in this case, literally, both sides of the fence. Literally. Meaning what B can't do is B can't say, hey, we merged with A, and then, period, hey, we merged with C. They can't do that. It's a, right, you're right. You can't play both sides. So according to Rav, where the Chachamim's objection is that if A wants to take their Kalim and move it to B, that's fine. If C wants to take their Kalim and move it to B, that's fine. But B can't go to A, and B can't go to C, because they can't have a merger, they can't unify with two different people. Okay, that's Rav's understanding of the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. So really, it's a very nuanced machlokes, meaning that it's not that the Chachamim totally disagree with the construct, with Rabbi Shimon. It's just that B can't go in either direction, but A can go to B and B can go to C. And sorry, and C can go to B.
Okay, A made with B,
yes,
and C made with B,
yes,
but B didn't do anything,
right?
Basically,
right. It's
so
a, it,
why should B really need
it? Do you need it? You still, in other words, you can't say B didn't do anything because without B contributing to A, to A's Eruv, we don't have an Eruv. So B contributed, but in other words, the problem now becomes for B. I don't understand. You unified with A, huh?
But I'm saying, but B really didn't do anything.
They did.
Put into this B.
Here's the funny part of this discussion. They did something, and they can't act on it. Right. Meaning they made an Eruv. It's not going to work without B's participation. B participated with A's Eruv. B participated with C's Eruv. But now, again, according to Rav, they're stuck. Okay? That is approach number one in terms of how to understand this machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. And we move on to Ki Amrisi. Ki Amrisi Kamei Shmuel, you know how this works. Rav Yehuda was student of Rav, and then Rav Yehuda left Rav and went over to the yeshiva of Shmuel. So that was both a change in Rebbe and a change in geography. Right? Rav was in Sura, Shmuel was in Naharda. So Rav Yehuda, this happens very often, where Rav Yehuda first is going to quote Rav, and then say it in front of Shmuel. Shmuel's going to hear, and Shmuel's going to say, no, that you're not right. Right? And not you're not right, but I disagree with Rav. So, Ki Amrisi Kamei Dishmuel, Amar Li, Af Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So, Shmuel says, nope, that's not a correct understanding of the Machlokas. Now here, as if the Gemara isn't already complex enough, Rashi over here has two different girsos of what exactly the Gemara means. I'm going to go with Rashi's second shot because that's the one that he prefers, and I'm going to explain it according to Rashi's second approach. Just know there are more than one gears going on in the Gemara over here. But let's just say it simply, again, not simply, but according to Rashi's second approach. Shmuel says to his student Rav Yehuda, Rav did not get it right, but rather, that position which you just espoused, that you thought was the Chachamim, that's actually Rabbi Shimon. Meaning it's Rabbi Shimon who allows A to go to B, who allows C to go to B, but B can't go to A, can't carry something to A, and B can't carry something to C. That's Rabbi Shimon. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Shloshtan Asuros. The Chachamim say, nobody, nothing, no. Meaning A can't carry to B, B can't carry to A. C can't carry to B, B can't carry to C. There's simply no carrying that is allowed at all in this Chatzir.
Because?
Now, why? So we'll go back to what the Gemara said on Memches Amar Aleph. The Gemara in Memches Amar Aleph asked your very question, why? And the Chachamim were worried, because once we allow any carrying to take place, so then A is going to go to C. In other words, what's the difference? I'm carrying to A, to B, so why can't I go all the way to C? So and why is it different? Let's just remind ourselves. Why is that different than the three people? Because three people is just three people. They'll know. They'll remember. Here you're talking about a lot of people, so it will be hard to manage and to control who's carrying them. Okay. That is Shmuel's understanding. Okay. All right, let's just leave it off like this. I can complicate things more. We could talk about the actual Nusach of the Mishnah, whether or not it really fits into the Nusach of the Mishnah, but I'll tell you what, for the sake of brevity and for the sake of simplicity, let's just go on in the Gemara and just deal with how Shmuel's presenting it. According to Shmuel, the Chachamim say no. No means no. You can't carry from A to B, from B to C, from C to B, from B to A. No, in other words, just simply nothing. And according to Rabbi Shimon, again, according to Rashi, second Girsa, A can go to B and carry to B. C can carry to B, but B can't carry neither to A nor to C. Good.
But according to Chachamim, A may do elevate B, and that's it.
Yeah,
no problem, right?
I think so. I do think so. I think so. It sounds right. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yehuda Aliba de Shmuel. And now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and this Braisa sounds exactly like the way Shmuel just presented it. Am Rabbi Shimon Lamad, Avadam Lashosh Chitzeros, Apsuchos Ulazu, Apsuchos Rushos Rabim, Irvu Shtaim Imayim Sais. If the two outer Chatzers made an Irv with the inner Chatzer, Zum Iviyasa Mitoch Beisava Ocheles, Vizum Iviyam Mitoch Beisava Ocheles. So how does this Braisa sound like? A can bring something to B. C can bring something to B. But you don't hear in this Braisa the idea that B can bring something to A, neither B can bring something to C. Zumachzeres mosra l'soch beisa, v'zumachzeres mosra l'soch beisa, and if there's anything left over, A can bring it home. If there's anything left over, C can bring it home. But in other words, in this Braisa, the way we're presenting it according to Shmuel is that our understanding of Rabbi Shimon is A can carry to B, but B can't carry to A. C can carry to B, but B can't carry to C. Ava Chachamim Omrim, Shloshtan Asuros. And what do the Chachamim say? All three are Asur. Nobody can carry anywhere. Good. We have a Braisa. Braisa supports Shmuel's understanding of the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Not Rav's understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. V'azo Shmuel al-tami d'amr Shmuel. And we're now going to go and advance the thought. Shmuel's consistent. D'amr Shmuel. Chatzar shemein shnei mavavos. Let's say I have a chatzar between two mavois. Okay? And now, let's take a look. What we're going to do now is talk about a slightly varied scenario, and I have on the board closer to me. Okay, it's almost identical to what we've been discussing previously, but the twist over here is I have a mavui. I have a mavui, an alleyway between chatzar A and B. I have a mavui between chatzar B and C. Okay, now, I want to carry something from my chatzar or my mavui. What do I need to do? Erev. Okay, there's a different word that's used over here. It's not called an erev. It's called shituf mevolos. It's the same basic idea. Meaning that if our mavui over here, right, let's just for purposes of having a discussion, and we're going to call this D, and we're going to call this E. Just so I don't confuse you any more than I have to. Okay, if I have now this Mavui D, this Mavui D is a shared Mavui, shared by Chatzers A and B. Good. So so in order to be able to carry from my Chatzer to the Mavui D, so I need to make an Eruv. With B. A and B need to make an Eruv in order to unify, in order to be carrying in D. Okay, how about Mavui E? So these two chaseros need to make an Erev in order to carry. So now, okay, good, it's going to get complicated. So now, what's going to happen? Chaser shebein shnei mavos, irva im shneihem, asura im shneihem. So now, we are focusing right now on chaser B, who right now has got a bit of an issue, because he's adjoined by two mavois. And he's trying now to unify with two separate mavois. So, im irva im shnehem, asura im shnehem. So if he's going to try to unify with both eruvs, so he's got nothing. Meaning, you can unify with one. You can't unify with two. So he walked away with nothing. Lo irva im shnehem, oseris al shnehem. Now, but here's also another twist. What is, okay, fine, so you know what? My Erev will yield nothing for me, so that's it. We're not making an Erev. Meaning, Chatzar B is position is going to be, if we have nothing to gain, we're not unifying. Well, that's going to create a problem. Because A now, and C now, can't carry something from their house into the Mavoi. Why? Because that mavui, mavui D, is joined to B. And so they can't carry to B. Sorry, they can't carry. I'm sorry, now I'm done. They can't carry to that to mavui D because they didn't make an Erev. They didn't unify. And our other chatzar over here, chatzar C, they can't carry to E. They didn't make an Erev with chatzar B. So, lo yirvoim shneihem, oseris al shneihem. Okay, so far so good. Wow. So in other words, B's really stuck, meaning, well, I'd say, in other words, B, for making an Eruv, so they're helping A. For making an Eruv, they're going to help C, but they can't help themselves, because they can't unify in both directions.
And they could help both?
And they could help both. Oddly enough. Haisa ke'echa be'echad regila ve'echad ena regila. Now, a mavui really is a lot. What is a mavui? I mean, aside from physically what it is. It's an alleyway, but it's really a passageway. It allows people to walk. The Rishus HaRabim, by the way, I didn't draw it on the board. I hope it was understood. The Rishus HaRabim is on the bottom. It allows people to go from the Chatzir into the Rishus HaRabim. It's basically a street that funnels out into the main street, into the main thoroughfare. Okay? So now, this middle Chatzir over here, what if, let's say, there are two streets that he can go on? He can either go on street D or street E. Let's say, for him, for that middle chatzir, it's always been Mavui E. Okay, the one to the right. Let's say that's the one that he always goes on. Haisa be'echad regila uve'echad ein regila. Zusha regila bo aser. So in other words, this is their street. This is the one they commonly use. This is not their street. So that's great. So in other words, great for A. Because now Chatzar A basically says, look, I know there is a way for the middle Chatzar to get out to our alleyway, but they never use it. So therefore, because they never use it, we don't have to be ma'ariv with them in order to create a mavui. Meaning, for us to be able to carry into that left mavui, all we need to do is just make an erev amongst ourselves. Vizushein regila bo mutter. Okay, good. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna. More on this discussion. Irvu im she'ena regila bo, huta regila la'atzmo. Let's say Chatzar B says, you know what? We're going to, this week, even though we normally have been using the right alleyway, this week we want to use the left alleyway. Well, who knows, whatever the reasons are. Okay, they made that decision. So Irvim She'ena Regila Bo, Huta Regila La'atzmo. So basically what they're doing now is disassociating themselves from this Mavi over here, and therefore for Chatzar C, they're good. Meaning for them, it's just them and their Mavui, and they're not viewed as sharing their Mavui with B. V'amar Rava bar Rav Huna Amar Shmuel, Im Irva Regila La'atzmo, V'zu She'ena Regila Bo, Lo eruv vihi atzma lo irva dochen osol etzal she'ena regila bo. Let's say Chatzar A says to themselves, "Look, normally we and B share this street, and normally Chatzar B goes down this street, goes down the center mavui. Okay, in our case, the left mavui. And let's say Chatzar A says, you know what?" This Shabbos, we want to be able to carry into the Mavui, and we normally share it with Chatzar B, but you know what? We would like to make an Erev just amongst ourselves. What they can do is, I'm going to reread the line of the Gemara, Dochen Osa Eitzel She'ino Regila Bo. They could basically turn to Chatzar B and say, look, this Shabbos, I know you normally use our street, use the other street. For this particular Shabbos. They're not ignoring it. They're basically saying, this is not going to be your normal access. For this Shabbos, the other Mavu is going to be your normal access. Ukigon zeh, kofen al midastom. Can A say that to B? Yes. Yes, they can. And can B acquiesce to that? Well, B can acquiesce to that, and now we're going to say it even a little bit stronger. B needs to acquiesce to that. Because if I'm doing somebody a favor and it's no skin off my back, why shouldn't I help somebody else out? Now, if you'll say to me, but isn't it my option to say no? Yeah, you know who also says no like that? Sodom. Members of the city of Sodom say that. Meaning that if I'm doing you a favor and it's going to be an expenditure of my energy, money, resources, so then I understand I don't have to. It'd be nice, right? You'll be a mensch if you do. But there, I understand that compromises a sacrifice. But if there's no cost to me to help you, so not only does the halacha say you should do it, kofin on midas dom. We tell you this is really the appropriate thing to do. So in other words, if Chatzar A made an Eruv, and now the problem is, and they want to carry in their mavui, the problem is that mavui is also joined by Chatzar B. And for this particular Shabbos, for whatever reason, they didn't make an Eruv together with Chatzar B. They could turn to Chatzar B and say, look, just for this Shabbos, do us a favor. We know you have two roads to get out to the street. And for you, what's the difference? Now, I know you can argue it'll be a difference. Look, we're Jewish people. We could be somewhat difficult. Okay, most of the time, no. Most of the time, we're easy. But I know that. But in other words, Chatzar B basically can. Chatzar A can say to Chatzar B, look, for this Shabbos, can you make the other mavui your access in and out, and basically for this Shabbos, just in other words, stay away from our joint mavui, so that way you won't infringe and prohibit us from carrying from our chatzar to the mavui. And to that, the Gemara says, yes, you can do that. Kofin al midas dom. Since it results in no loss to chatzar B, so we not only encourage, it's stronger than encouragement, we basically force them to behave in a manner in which I'll be nice to others, especially when it doesn't represent any type of loss to me. Okay, so far so good. That was a very complicated, I'm admitting it. In other words, a whole series of scenarios in which, basically, how are we going to make an error for our left mavui, mavui D, our right mavui, and mavui E. Okay, all a takeoff from basically how we're looking at A, B, and C over there. And again, according to Shmuel, the way he understands the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim say no, meaning if A and B make an Erev and B and C make an Erev, but they don't make one large merger, you can't carry from neither A to B nor B to C in either direction. And according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel, A can carry to B, C can carry to B, but B can't carry neither to A nor C. Why not? Because you can't unify in both directions. And on that, then we moved on to the much more complex scenario of Chatzar, but before getting to the next Mavui on either side, I'm sorry, before getting to the next Chatzar on either side, there's a Mavui intervening, and how do we view the Erev of A, the Chatzar, and B, the Mavui? Okay.
Well,
yes.
Chatzar B have to close the door to the
Mavui. Yeah, so I'm not, right. It's really a function of access, meaning of usage. So I don't think so, but I'm not sure. Let's say you're makbid on your eruv, meaning you gave the food, and then you told the people, but make sure nobody touches my food. Okay, you missed the point. Okay, and the eruv is not a good eruv. Mashmo, eruv shmo. Because it's an eruv. Now what does the Gemara mean? It's an eruv. Meaning the very nature of Eruv is sharing, right? That's the whole concept of Eruv, right? I know it sounds beautiful, I know it sounds warm, but it's really, and I know what I do is I end up legalizing everything, but from a legal standpoint, if you contribute to the Eruv, but you say, nobody touch it, it's mine, it is absolutely mine, you miss the whole point of the Eruv, we have not unified. And so consequently, the Erev is not going to be an Erev. By the way, the Erev not only doesn't mean unification, you know what the Erev also means? Pleasant. Right? We say in Berach, right, Harev na Hashem al-Kinu as-Tirvei Sarasech b'finu, right, meaning, it's for the purposes of pleasantry. Rabbi Chanina Amar Eruva Erev Ela Shidikre Me'anshe Vardina. So Rabbi Chanina says, look, technically it's an Erev, he did contribute, but what are we going to say about him? Or about this particular community, it's Anshe Vardina. Now for us, we don't understand how that's an insult to us. Okay, fine, they're Anshe Vardina. Rashi says they're tzaikanim. Right? They're miserable people. They're cheap people. But, in other words, so they have midos issues, but the Arab's still going to work. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel.
How about if you just restrict this one person in there?
Right, right. Again, in other words, that's me, you're being makbid. So once you're being makbid...
No, I'm just saying, it's money, that's different.
Okay, I understand it.
Everybody can use it except you.
I understand it's different, but that's makbid. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, cholak is eruv or eino eruv. If, let's say, you put the eruv in somebody's house, and then you divide the eruv, meaning... In the house, okay, this is his contribution, this is his contribution, and we physically divide it, no good. So, So the Gemara says, once again, let's remind ourselves of Machlokus in Beisham and Beisil, which we just saw in the previous Amud. The Gemara now is reviewing the Machlokus with us. This idea that if I divide the Erev, it's no good. You mean to tell me that's Beisham? The Gemara says, no. I feel the tame of Beisil, ad kanlokam Beisil, asam elade, malyan laman of Yasser, avalhech de palge, miflag lo. The Gemara says, no, Beis Hillel is fine if you put in two different kelim. But that's because everyone contributed, there are a lot of rolls, one basket's not going to be enough to fill it all. So if I need to get another basket, Beis Hillel says, that's fine. But if it's already put into one basket, and then, oh, let's divide. Right? This is his Erev, and this is his Erev. So once I make an active division of the food collected into one basket... Now that's no good. You've missed the entire point of Erev. Erev is for the purpose of unification. V'tarti lamali. Now, basically, I'm hearing Rav Chanina make the same point really twice over. Meaning, why do I need both statements? So the Gemara says, Tzricha di'ashmin en ha'asam ishim de'kapid. Because look, if I'm being makbid, and when I give the Erev, I say, nobody's eating my bread. So then, avahacha imalo. But over here, we're just dividing. Which I know you could define as being makbid, but over here we're just dividing the Erev. And if all we did was divide, but the giver wasn't makbid, so then maybe you could have made the argument, well, that maybe that's okay, meaning not nice midos, but maybe that's okay. That's why both of these points need to be made. Meaning, A, the person who was makbid, and B, after everyone, all the breads were collected, we divide the bread into... This is his, and this is his, and this is his. So, in either scenario, the Erev is not good, and the Erev is not going to work, due to the fact that you missed the point of an Erev. The Erev is there to unify, to merge everybody, to create pleasantry. So, you missed the point if what you're doing is A, being makbid, or B, after the collected bread, you start dividing the bread. Amalei Rav Ada, Abel Rav Yehuda, Bevema Atzrasa, Debay Rabbi Zakai. Mi Amar Shmuel Acholak Ezeruv Eino Erov. The Gemara says, Shmuel, really that position where if you divide the Erev, it's not going to be good. V'Amar Shmuel Beishem Manichem Bo Erev Ein Tzarach Liten Asapas. You know, the host of the Erev, meaning the one house where everyone's putting the Erev, does he need to put the bread in the basket? No, he doesn't. Right? Beishem Manichem Bo Erev Ein Tzarach Liten Asapas. He doesn't have to contribute. So my taima, la mishum dama de kevin damanach besala keman damanach hachadamia, hachinami kevin damanach besala keman damanach hachadamia. Because essentially, wherever it is, wherever his bread is, it's in the basket. So same thing over here, meaning, even if I divide the Erev, can we make the argument, okay, we may physically have divided it, but it's like it's in the basket. It's the same thing. The Gemara says, no, you missed it. When you become the host, what are you saying essentially as everyone takes bread, a roll, and puts it in your house? They're basically saying, we're establishing our residence over here. You don't have to say that. You're the homeowner. Your residence is over here. The bread, the contribution of bread is basically unification. But the way it's unified is by everyone basically saying, it's like I live here. You do live here. You don't have to make any type of statement, it's like I live here. You do live there, so therefore that's why the host doesn't have to contribute bread to the basket. It has nothing to do with well, it's my bread's in my cupboard, but it's as if it's in the basket. No. It's everyone living in that house. Which is now going to segue to the next part of today's daf, and it's really short, but it's really fundamental. We now have spoken about this idea that Erev unifies. By everyone taking a role and putting it in a basket in one person's house, we have now basically made a centralized residence, so that now we don't have a chatzer of multiple homeowners. We have now one chatzer, one unified entity. Now the Gemara is going to speak in the most legal of terms, but how exactly did that work? What's the mechanism that triggers off the unification of the Erev? Amar Shmuel, Erev Mishum Kinyan. So Shmuel says it really is a Kinyan. I'm making an acquisition. It's as if I am buying part of your house for the Shabbos. The Im Tomer Mibnei Ma Ein Konim B'Ma'a. So if that's true, if it's really a Kinyan, so why bread? Meaning if I'm buying rights to your house, I'm acquiring a residence in your house, so reach into your pocket, take out a five, and say, here's for Shabbos. Okay? And collect money from everybody. So Mimnei Sheinu Mitzuyah Bar V'Shabbos Hecha De'Irev Miu. Hecha De'Irev. So the Gemara says, well, you know, money's hard to come by, and you're not always going to have money, and comes Erev Shabbos, and you don't have money, and you're not going to have an Erev. So the Gemara says, Mio Likne, Gzer Shem Yomer Ma Iker, and if we allow money, meaning if you're telling me that money really does work, and if you allow money, what's going to end up happening is people think it's going to be the money. And people will think that the only way to make an Erev is money, and then the whole establishment of bread will go out of disuse, and the Chachamim want it to be bread. Make it easier on the participants rather than money. But even though it's bread, it functions as a kinyan. Approach number one. So, I'm sorry, let me just finish reading the sentence. Shem yomer ma iker, v'zimnen v'lo shchiach ma, v'lo asi le'iruve bepas, de'asi erov le'ikukule. And the problem is, as I just described, is that no one's going to have money, and no one's going to realize that really you can make it with bread, and we're going to destroy the whole institution of Erev. So basically, it's bread, but the bread serves as a kinyan. That's approach number one. Approach number two, Rabba Amar, Erev Mishum Dira. You're not making a kinyan, you're establishing residence. Now I know it sounds like we're parsing over here, and I know it sounds like a very nuanced discussion, but it's not a kinyan. It's just basically a way of saying, this is becoming my residence, my main residence. It's a dira, but I'm not actually making a kinyan. The Gemara says, what's the difference between how we say it? Whether Erev acts as a kinyan or Erev acts as a dira, my benayu ka benayu. So the Gemara says, let's give a whole series of nafkaminas. Number one, kli. One nafkamina would be, can I make an Erev using a kli? Meaning, not bread, but rather a utensil. According to, if it's all about a kinyan, so that's fine. If it's about dira, it's not going to be good. That's number one. Number two, pachas mishava pruta. Let's say I give a roll, and the roll is less than a pruta. Whenever we make a kinyan, you need a minimum amount of money in order to make a kinyan. Right? Marry a woman. Okay? You need a shava pruta. If you give anything that's less than a shava pruta, it's no good. So here, if what I'm doing is acquiring, so it's no good. If what I'm doing is establishing residency, so then that would be fine. And finally, katan. And what if the person who is giving is a minor? Can a minor make a kinyan? No. Can a minor establish residency? Yes. A third nafkamina in terms of how we're going to look at it, whether we look at it as a kinyan or whether we look at it as a dira. The Gemara says, "Amalei Abay LaRav LeDidcha Kashul Shmuel Kasha HaTanya Chamisha Shagabus Erevan Kishem Olichin Esterv LaMakom Echad Echan Molich LeKulam Huniyo DeKakani Visulo Huniyo I'm sorry Visulo Huniyo DeKadai Visulo." So the Gemara says, "I don't understand. If five people put their Erev in your house, and now I'm going to take the Erev and unify with another Chatzer. How am I doing that? So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Look, it's both going to work out. Shlichus dekula ka'avid. Because when that one person is not only transporting his own Erev, but the four other residents of the Chatzer, in order to merge with another Chatzer, you're acting as proxy. You're acting as a representative of all the other members of the Chatzer. So if it's because of Kinyan, fine. I could do a Kinyan via a Shliach. If it's because of Dira, I guess it's a bigger Chiddush. But if it's because of Dira, once again, I can establish my residence and other people's residence if they appoint me to be the Shliach. And then finally, on all this, the Gemara concludes, oh, by the way, the halakha falls like Rabbi Shimon. So that in the event that we do have an Erev between A and B, and an Erev between B and C, so now you can carry from A to B. And I can carry from C to B, but I cannot carry from A to C. And depending on how we're going to learn Rabbi Shimon, like Rav or like Shmuel, whether or not we can go from B to A, and from B to C. Okay, Ad Kan. Stop over here. Tomorrow, Shabbos, we pick it up from the Mishnah. Continue Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Zevachon Ben Shimon Rivka, for Rafal Avraham Zakeh Ben Rafal Zakeh Avraham Ben Yakir Avigail Yechananya Ben Akasha Mar Ratzakos Baruch Zakeh Sol. Sorry, Li'ilui Nishmas Harav Yaakov and Yosef. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akasha Mar Ratzakos Baruch Zakeh Sol. Fi Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Nai Chavetz Amantzikoy Yadil Torah Yadir.